It is common in modern Israel for place names and signs to be in three languages: Hebrew, Arabic, and English. Hebrew and Arabic are, of course, the first languages of most Israelis and Palestinians, and English is often the shared second language. Sometimes the names of the three places are similar. Some of you have heard me speak of a cafe owner herding cats in a town known in Hebrew as Nev Shalom, in Arabic as Wahat al-Salam, and in English as the Oasis of Peace. These names don't sound alike, but they all mean the same thing. In other instances, one of the names might diverge. The Hebrew Yerushalayim becomes the English Jerusalem, or in Arabic, Al-Quds. At other times, one of the names falls into disuse, as in the case of Mary's birthplace, a town called in Hebrew Zippori, in English Sepphoris, and for a time in Arabic Safaria. I will just use the English since that is our shared language here. Sepphoris is an ancient city. It's a little less than 4 miles from Nazareth, and it is, by tradition, said to be the birthplace of Mary, which is why I am talking about it today. According to the first century historian Josephus, around the time of Jesus' birth, Sepphoris was a hotbed of anti-Roman sentiment and the center of two revolts against Roman rule. As a result, according to Josephus, the city was destroyed and repopulated with a more Rome-friendly people. It's impossible now to date these events precisely enough to know whether Mary's move to Nazareth occurred before or because of this Roman destruction and revolt, but we can assume that she knew about them and knew people who were affected. And so, as we read today, the words of Gabriel to Mary and of Mary's sung response, I wonder how much those events were on her mind. I wonder, as she sung about a balancing of the scales in our responsive reading from today, I wonder how that trauma affected the way she raised Jesus. Certainly, in that time, there were many who expected the Messiah to seek military and political power, to overthrow Rome and to restore the kingdom of Israel. They expected a Messiah who would turn the wheels of power until Israel was on top and Rome or the Greeks or Persia or Babylon, Assyria or Nineveh, the Philistines or the Canaanites or the Egyptians would be on the bottom. I do not think that Mary was among those people. I have said before, and I will say again, that the answer to the question is yes, Mary knew. As we read in the text today, Gabriel told her, and I believe she understood better than even we do 2,000 years later. So often we are still trying to turn the wheel. After Jesus' death, Sepphoris stayed out of the first and second Roman Jewish wars and avoided the destruction that came with them. The village became a center of Jewish learning as the priestly and intellectual elite settled in that city for a time, before eventually moving on to Tiberias. The population of Sepphoris peaked around 30,000 inhabitants somewhere in the 6th century under Byzantine rule, before further wars and population shifts during the eras when it was ruled by the Muslim caliphs, the European crusaders, the Ottomans, and eventually the British bring us to a census in 1945 when the population was roughly twice the size of Romney. At that time, the watchtower that had been built first by the Crusaders and rebuilt by the Ottomans had been converted to a school. Olive and pomegranate trees were the major drivers of the local economy. In 1948, as the contemporary state of Israel came into being, the population left or was driven out, depending on who you talk to. Some attempted to return and were chased away again. The oldest section of the town, that Crusader watchtower turned school, was converted to an archaeological park. The newer sections of the town were bulldozed and have been planted over with pine trees, and a new town with the same name has been established on the next hill south, overlooking the pine forest where the town used to be. So often we want to turn back the clock, we want to turn the wheel, but we face the challenge of knowing or agreeing where to stop. Do we try to restore the Arab Safaria of 1945, the Byzantine Sepphoris of the 600s, the Jewish Zippori of the 300s, or the Roman-friendly Sepphoris of the 1st and 2nd century? Do we restore Herod's version of the town in which Mary was born? Herod took it from the Hasmoneans, who are better known as the Maccabees, who took the town from the Greeks, from the Persians, from the Babylonians, from the Assyrians, and on and on and on. What Mary understood when she listened to the words of Gabriel is that the answer to all of those questions is no. Mary knew that her son did not come to trade one set of victors for another. Mary knew that her son did not come to trade the places of the powerful and the lowly, the rich and the hungry. Mary understood that the promise of her child, the promise of Jesus, was the erasure of those distinctions. Mary understood that the mission of her son was not to rotate its wheel on its axis, moving one group after another to the top, but to turn it on its side. Each year, as we celebrate Christmas, we are not only remembering Jesus' long ago birth, we are also heralding the coming reign of Christ, the return of Jesus. Each year at this season, we mark again the opportunity for us to live into Christ's promise and practice of grace. Sometimes I hear people talking about living like there is no tomorrow. Sometimes even I might suggest we try to live like there's no tomorrow, to live a life free of regrets, to seize opportunities as they present themselves. I've thought this week that the promise of Christmas is something different. It is the opportunity to live a life as if there is no yesterday. A life where, in grace, we can learn from our past mistakes, but do not need to endlessly carry their weight. A life where, instead of focusing our energy on turning back to something else, on finding something lost, on reviving some ill-defined past, we can look forward and imagine what can be. We can imagine living in a world with the wheel turned on its side, a world where we are freed from the endless competition to reach or stay on the top. A world where, instead of focusing on our own past mistakes or the past mistakes of others who have wronged us, we can focus on building a better place for us all to live together. The promise of Christ is that this world is coming. The promise of Christmas is that each year we get another opportunity to try again to build it. Thanks be to God.